Hi, this is Rabbi Ari Spiegler with the Zman Kilala Kol podcast. God willing, the Shabbos will be reading from Parshat Acharemot. And toward the beginning of Parshat Acharemot, after the death of Aaron's two sons, Hashem instructs Moshe as to how the Kohen Gadol should conduct the Avodah, the service, when he enters the Kodesh HaKodashim, the Holy of Holies, on Yom Kippur. Should Aaron and the Kohen Gadol follow these instructions precisely, so then his Avodah will be accepted by Hashem, and that will secure atonement, kapara, for the sins of himself, the sins of his family, the sins of the Bnei Israel. If, however, it's performed incorrectly, so then not only is kapara not secured, but the Kohen Gadol could, God forbid, lose his life. So arguably, this was the most important avodah of the year. Now, the very first Mishnah Masechet Yoma tells us that 7 days already before Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol was removed from his home. He was brought to the Lishkat Valhedrin, a certain chamber in the Beit HaMikdash. And on top of that, they would set up a stand-in Kohen Gadol to take the place of the Kohen Gadol in the event that something should occur to him to disqualify him from performing the Avodah that year on Yom Kippur. Now, one such disqualification that we would be concerned about is that the Kohen Gadol might become Tameh, he might become ritually impure. And the hope was that by separating him for a week prior to Yom Kippur, there was a greater likelihood that he would not become Tameh leading up to Yom Kippur, and thereby he would not be disqualified from serving. But there are times, hypothetically, where the Kohen Gadol might be forced to become Tameh. What do we mean by that? There is a situation that could present itself of what we call a mate mitzvah. Mate mitzvah is a case of a dead body where there's no one to take care of the burial of this body. So should the Kohen Gadol chance upon a mate mitzvah, he would be forced to render himself Tameh, ritually impure. And hypothetically, should that be leading up to Yom Kippur, that might forfeit his right or his ability to serve as the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. And we would require the skan, the stand-in, to take his place. Now, Rav Soloveitchik, in the Sefer Mipnine Arav, it's recorded there both in Yiddish and in Hebrew. I'll probably stick to the Hebrew. He was very taken by this theoretical case of the Kohen Gadol on Erev Yom Kippur encountering a Meit Mitzvah. He says, "Nidmeh b'nafshenu." Let's imagine to ourselves, "Shayom Erev Yom Kippurim." It's Erev Yom Kippur, va Kohen Gadol muchan likanes od ma'at laKodesh HaKodeshim levakesh slicha mechila avor Am Yisrael. Kohen Gadol is prepared. He's ready in just a short while to enter the Kodesh HaKodeshim, the Holy of Holies, on Yom Kippur to secure atonement for the Jewish people. Kol Am Yisrael mamtin mitzapel Kohen Gadol. Everyone, all the Jewish people, they're relying on him. They're relying on the Kohen Gadol, who has taken upon himself the responsibility for all of the Jewish people for the upcoming year. Ulefeta, and then suddenly, Motzea Kohen Gadol, Meit Mitzvah Mutal Masadeh. He finds this case of a Meit Mitzvah of a dead body out in the field. Ve'ein mi shitapel b'kvurato, and there's no one who can tend to the burial. HaKohen Gadol Yodea Hitev She'im Hu Yitma LeMeit Asur Yelo Likanes LaKodesh HaKodeshim Shel Ben HaMikdash V'Liyuchal Lavo LiPalel Al Am Yisrael b'yom ha-kippurim. Now the Kohen Gadol knows that if he gets close to this dead body, if he involves himself in the mitzvah, he will not be able to serve as the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. Now, presumably, this would be an absolute nightmare for the Kohen Gadol. So the Rav continues, "Nitayir la'atzbino machshavotav shel ha-Kohen Gadol." Think about the thought process of the Kohen Gadol. Mitzarech ha-munach lefanav ha-meit mitzvah shehu mechuyav li-tamelo. On the one hand, he has the meit mitzvah, he has to take care of that. Umitzad sheni, on the other hand, yodeh she-klal Yisrael mamtinu mitzapel le-tfilato. That the Jewish people, they're relying on his prayers, on his service. Al Am Yisrael, his prayers about the Jewish people, shivakesh avram shana tova, that they should have a good year coming up. Shtei hitchavuyod hasotrod halalu umdol lefanav bimlo ha-rifutan. This is a major clash in these two values. Hamed habodeh on the one hand, he's got to bury the dead because otherwise it's a bizayon. It's a an inappropriate way to treat a dead body. But on the other hand, he has the ability to enter the holiest place, the holiest day of the year. But halacha is clear. It's an open and it's a shut case. The Kohen must make himself Tameh in order to bury this person, and the skan will take his place, and he will serve instead of Kohen Gadol. Basically, the Kohen Gadol has to choose to disqualify himself from serving on Yom Kippur. But asks the Rav, why should this be the halacha? Granted, it is the halacha, but why should it be the halacha? He says, "Ve'im yavo ha-shoel v'yish'al." If someone wanted to ask, "Ketzad efshar lasod kid kach laniach haklal Yisrael hefker?" How can we leave the Jewish people in such a state without a leader, so to speak? Sharei miyudea im skan haKohen Gadol yuchal lemalei et mikomo kidabayi. Who knows if the skan is as good as the Kohen Gadol himself? Ulai ein hu muchan kimo haKohen Gadol shehit konein harbei zman liyom ha-kippurim. Maybe he's not as well prepared as the Kohen Gadol was. Because Kohen Gadol, he was the one assuming that he was going to go in this whole time. He was probably better prepared. We have an even stronger question. Who is this dead body? Who was this person? What type of life did he live? He's just a regular Jew. Who knows? He's this or that, but he's not like the most significant Jew to ever live. Ve'af al pi kein. And nevertheless, biglal nefesh pshuta kazo hakoim uchiyav la'avir me'alav ekdushat ha'kuna gdola v'limno me'atzmo d'avodat yom ha'kippurim. For this one simple Jew, the Kohen Gadol, arguably the most important Jew at that moment, he's going to give up everything? He's going to hold back from serving on Yom Kippur because of this one Jewish person? How could it be? Aval kach mitzvah halacha she'Kohen Gadol mechuyav li'tamei ulikbor et hamit mitzvah. But that's the rule. The rule is that he has to forfeit the Avodah on Yom Kippur in order to bury this Meit Mitzvah. V'yitera mizot, asur l'Kohen Gadol l'itakev ma'ad b'kvurav l'alecha l'iras mucha l'ikor l'chevra kadisha l'tapel memeid. He can't even delay. He can't go to, the chevra kadisha in order to have the burial buried. Elahu chayav tekef u'miyad l'tapel memeid l'kovro b'atzmo l'itameilo. He has to be the one. He has to get involved. He has to render himself disqualified by becoming tamei. So, we have a very strong question here. Why should this be the halacha? Why should it be necessary? You would think that the needs of the many overrides the need of this one. And also, who is this one person? Why is he so significant? It seems a little bit strange. Shouldn't the Kohen Gadol's elevated, his significant role, override the burial of someone of less importance? So this is very, very surprising. But Rav Soloveitchik explains that it actually makes perfect sense. V'atshuva. The explanation is as follows. Hi ki adam nosei al atzmo et atzelem elokim. A person, and every single person, has a Tzelem Elohim. They are created in the form of Hashem. Ki betragedia shel hamavet kulam shavim. And everyone is equal when it comes to the tragedy of death. Vein hevdel mihu amet. And it doesn't make a difference who it is that died. Im hu Yishaya HaNavi or Shlomo HaMelech, whether it was Isaiah the prophet, whether it was Shlomo, King Solomon, or Stam Eze Roe Ani v'Galmud, or just a random shepherd, a plumber from Sheboygan. Does not make a difference. Ki mi yodeya im la'ish ha'umlal lo hayu yoter sklod v'chaniot me'asher ha'kohen ha'gadol ela shitram. Who knows? This could have been a great Jew. Maybe for whatever reason, whatever the conditions of his life were, he wasn't able to rise in the ranks to become like the Kohen Gadol. But maybe where he was, he fulfilled his potential and he was as holy, perhaps, as the Kohen Gadol. V'lachein, and therefore, because each and every single person has a Tzelem Elokim, they have a spark of the divine. Halacha l'maaseh ki b'fnei Tzelem Elokim shel kol adam chayavim l'chalel hakuna. It does not make a difference who it is. It does not make a difference who it was. Doesn't make a difference why this person is dead, what type of life they lived. If they die because of their Tzelem Elokim, the Torah tells us that the Kohen has to become impure. He has to leave that on the side, even the Avodah on Yom Kippur. Chayavim laniach min hatzad et Yom HaKippurim. Leave it to the side. V'im HaKohen HaGadol ya'alim ayin v'yavur min ha'makom yitaleh min ha'meit. And if, heaven forbid, he should choose otherwise, he should choose to look elsewhere, I'm not going to take care of it, or I'll have the Chevra Kadisha do it, says Rav Soloveitchik, who einenu ra'oi likanes ben HaMikdash. That he's not worthy. He doesn't deserve. He shouldn't be the one who's going to go into the Beit HaMikdash, who's going to go and serve on Yom Kippur. Meaning, it would be such an egregious violation of a Tzelem Elokim, of someone created in the form of Hashem, that he wouldn't be worthy to go into the Beit HaMikdash. So what Rav Soloveitchik is trying to explain to us is that the requirement of the Kohen Gadol to render himself tamei, to disqualify himself in order to bury this Beit Mitzvah, that is an outgrowth of each and every single person's Tzelem Elokim. The fact that they are created in the form and in the image of Hashem. And the Tzelem Elokim of the Kohen Gadol has no greater significance than the Tzelem Elokim of the simple shepherd. Does not make a difference. When a Tzelem Elokim has passed, when it has died, every single Jewish person, including the Kohen Gadol on Erev Yom Kippur, they must rally to expedite the burial. A Kohen Gadol who believes that maybe their Avodah, or maybe they themselves are too important to become Tamei for the burial of this Meit Mitzvah, that person, says Rav Soloveitchik, is unfit to be the one who is supposed to secure atonement for the Jewish people. V'nit bonen ba'atzmenu. And Rav Soloveitchik says, pay attention, think about this. Ha'im haya yachol likro kaze davar itzel melech o ish gadol acher ba'olam? Would we ever have such a high standard for anyone else in the world? Specifically a person of importance. He says the example of the melech, right, the king, or an ish gadol, a person of significance, shavard kol achanot le'ro gadol, that they went through all their preparations for a certain specific event. Uvi galal eze ani kaftan shemeit yidche ha-melech et hachtarato, v'vadai shezeh liyachol likrod. He says, and then we would tell them that there's a need of a specific Jew in a specific place, and therefore you're going to have to put down this really important thing they've been preparing for, this really significant thing that a lot of people are relying on you for, so that you could take care of this one person. We wouldn't find that anywhere else in the world. If the king, if the world expert, the athlete was prepared to do something at a specific time, there would never ever be an expectation that they should take care of something for a random, seemingly insignificant person. Uveze munachad ha-tragedia shel ha-enoshut. He says that's the tragedy of humanity, that sometimes we ascribe value to some people over others. Ha'enoshu yechola li'ga'il rak kishe yashivu et ha'kavod et ha'erach li'achidu la'adam ha'pashut rak b'shel ha'yoto adam. Right? He says the only way that mankind can be redeemed is when the dignity, the honor, the value of every single person is upheld simply because they are human, simply because they are a telem elokim, and not because of their accomplishment. Ha'yahadud ha'amitit melamedet achein et ha'yisudot ha'musariyim ha'ila. We have to recognize that each and every single Jewish person, each and every single Jewish soul is an olam male, is an entire world. And what greater expression of this idea is there than forcing the holiest man on the holiest day, that we force him to disqualify himself from the holiest service in the holiest place on earth so that he could tend to the needs of a quote-unquote a nobody. This is the greatest expression of everyone and anyone's Tzelem Elokim. And this is obviously an important message that we need to internalize at all times. But maybe, it's an important message that we need to internalize specifically at this moment. Look, at the end of the day, we all have a Tzelem Elokim. We were all created in the image of Hashem, and that should be the great equalizer. We're all the same. And this was especially relevant when we first shared this idea from Rav Soloveitchik, from the Rav. It was during the early days of the COVID-19 pandemic, and we were constantly discussing death and the loss of Tzelem Elokim in terms of statistics and risk percentages. And while those conversations, they might have been necessary, we couldn't forget that any single person, any single Tzelem Elokim that passed away from that virus, it wasn't just a number. It wasn't just a statistic, that each and every last one of those people were sparks of the divine. They were a Tzelem Elokim. They were human beings. They were sons. They were daughters. They were fathers. They were mothers. It's so important for us to remember that when we think about the unfortunate loss of many lives, that sometimes we lose focus on the one specific Tzelem Elokim. And it's also this time of year, I would say that it's important because we're about to commemorate Yom HaShoah and Yom HaZikaron, Holocaust Remembrance Day, Yom HaZikaron, where we commemorate those soldiers who made the ultimate sacrifice, who were killed in battle, and those who were victims of terror. Here too, the staggering numbers, in a way, they obscure the magnitude of the loss of even one single person, one single Tzelem Elokim, one single soul, one precious neshama, one olam ma'aleh, one full and complete world. And there are so many projects that, you know, they've recognized that this is a problem. They've tried to impart to us that these people were people. They weren't just numbers. They were real people with real lives, with relatives, with narratives, with names. And each of those people were brutally, brutally taken from us. And of course, we still find ourselves in the shadow of October 7th and the subsequent wars that have taken place. And here too, the numbers of people who lost their lives to terrorists or in battle, it shocks us to our core. And here too, we must not let the numbers allow us to lose focus on the names and the stories of these amazing and brave souls. Each one of them, no matter who they were, no matter how they lived their lives, each one of those people was a Tzelem Elokim. They were created in the image of Hashem. Each one of those people was an Olam Male, and we must never forget this. We must never forget them, their names, and their stories. So hopefully, by striving to show our appreciation for every Tzelem Elokim, just as we demand of the Kohen Gadol, even on Erev Yom Kippur. And if we do that, right, by striving to show our appreciation, certainly when people are alive, but even more so after death, then hopefully we can receive the necessary kapara that the Kohen Gadol was hoping to secure each year on Yom Kippur. And hopefully, by showing our appreciation for every Tzelem Elokim while they're alive, and even more so perhaps in their death, we can put an end to all the fear and the anxiety, all the pain and the suffering, all the death and the destruction, and may we see that and experience that speedily in our days. Shabbat Shalom.